This is Morgan Freeman, and you are listening to one of the most important podcasts ever made in the history of podcasting, the Pocket Party Podcast with my good friend, Darren Carter.
Pocket Party. Yeah.
When I'm down and feeling low with so much negativity, I listen to Darren Carter's Pocket Party. He got his friends as guests and they be really funny.
It ain't over till he say, boy,
don't hurt nobody.
Yeah.
They run.
All right, we're going to call Mike Black. Mike Black is back. On Instagram, Twitter.
Good morning, America. How are you?
Hello, we are live. I am recording. Hello.
I'm glad I didn't sing anymore because get sued or whatever.
Was that Willie Nelson? That "Good Morning, America"?
I think John Denver, maybe.
Oh wow, I think you're wrong, buddy. I mean, well, maybe they both did it because I know.
Maybe you're wrong.
Oh snap! You know what?
That was a really good comeback, wasn't it?
You have an advantage because I'm recording this on my phone, and I'm afraid that if I Google it on my phone, it'll just stop the podcast. But
well, it would.
I know. Because, so I part of me is like, well, why don't you Google it? But then, how do I trust my opponent?
Every time you're wrong, it shuts down your podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, Darren, how come you put out like a series of 30-second podcasts? I was wrong a lot.
Yeah. It turns out I was.
Can you Google it real quick? Can you Google?
Let me see.
Do you have?
It's Arlo Guthrie.
Oh, okay. So he probably wrote it, and then maybe both of them. They probably both recorded it because I'm pretty sure in my memory it was Willie Nelson's vibrato that I remember hearing. Good morning,
America. I've never heard that.
I read somewhere that he recorded over, and this is a while ago, like 500. It might have been like albums or songs.
Willie Nelson, the song is called City of New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And he did record it.
And how about John Denver?
You just have to be right, don't you? Let's see.
Since you have that Google machine in front of you.
John Denver, he did record City of New Orleans, but on top of that, he was also on Good Morning America, so.
Oh wow, he's like double. So the trouble.
He cancels out Willie Nelson altogether. Oh, yeah.
He's saying Good Morning America on Good Morning America.
So I was slightly more right.
Yeah, you were. And for all we know, it was a special on location in New Orleans. For all we know, you know. So that's three.
Yeah, and they might have sang it together too at some point.
That's true. By the way, I put a 70s country playlist on Spotify. And believe it or not, it's so funny because people are like, I hate country. Well, I think they have
who's aggressively telling you this?
People that if you walk down the street and just told 10 random people that you love country music, I guarantee you, like, there are people that feel very strong about it. Like,
I could see them doing that to you.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of like, yeah, they look like you look like you could be in a country western movie, you know, like
you're a bald white man.
Exactly. I love country, and that's cool. You liking, know what I mean?
Liking country music is just like two steps away from something terrible.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
They're so like, duh. No.
They want to take a firm stance early on in the relationship.
But even when I
hate country music, don't invite me to your club or whatever. I don't want to know, you know.
But even when I had like red hair on the fringes, you know, like above the ears, and I like country. They're like,
because they know that if you're telling them how much you like country, you're just 30 seconds away from telling them all the things you don't like.
Exactly. And you know what I don't like? They're like, dude, you're easy now.
And
easy
another
now.
Thing that's wrong with this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like country, but I don't like this country.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was, I remember like around in the early 2000s is when I was like, I started listening to country music again, like some of the classic 70s outlaw and all that. And then I got into whatever. I just got in this country music phase. And
sure.
And I remember telling people, like, wow, I love country. And I remember that's what I really, I noticed when people.
I love country.
I noticed when a lot of people I did come across, they would say stuff like, I love all types of music, everything but country. They'd say, I like everything but, and I was like, oh. But I get it, though, because there's some, just like all genres, there's really bad stuff that just sucks. But
I used to say that when I was a kid. I would say, I was like when you, you know, when you're in high school and you'd ride with your friends somewhere, yeah. And they'd be like, I'm going to put the radio on. And I would just always go, anything but country.
Dude, that's another thing I found that, yeah, because I remember I did a show with a promoter once, and I flew into El Paso, and then we drove up to a casino, and he goes, and all he had was a radio, right? And he goes, what do you want to hear? I go, hey, you know what, put it on the country, because I'm thinking we're driving across the desert. This will be fitting for the mood. But you just can't put it on a regular radio station, and because there's so many commercials and bad songs, and they call it like soccer mom country, where it's like... it sucked, dude. I was like, that's what's better about
soccer mom country.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah. Cause it, like what I think of when I think of the country that I had been hearing in high school and on the radio and stuff, it's like Garth Brooks or Billy Ray Cyrus. And not to say that those guys don't have good songs here and there, but the stuff they play on the radio is like their dumbest.
Oh,
most, you know,
yeah, it's funny.
Walmarty type country that they can do.
And nowadays, you know? it's like auto-tuned and like it's a mixture.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's. I mean, at least you know with those two artists, like yeah,
you know what it is. The stuff I grew up on. Like my parents were both. I was in Colorado, and my parents were both from Texas, and the country that I grew up on was. Good stuff. It was like Waylon Jennings and Dolly Parton and, you know, Kenny Rogers. And as we got into the 90s and the whole Garth Brooks era started to happen, to me, it felt like country was almost like making fun of itself.
Yeah. That I'm Chris sense? Gaines.
Like, no. Yeah, it was all like a parody of country.
But I will say, know? Though, I went to a Garth Brooks concert and it was really good, man. It was like,
did he do the thing where he like gets on the silly string or whatever and zips around the audience?
No, I don't
you know what I'm talking about.
I don't remember that, but I remember it was a fundraiser. It was during we had one of those like all the fires were in California, and and so he did like five shows or something, like, and you know, like Saturday at noon and then Saturday at 5 o'clock and Sunday at. I mean, dude, that guy was like, first of all, it was at Staples Center. It was every show was sold out, and he was. Here's what I love about like any good artist: they don't just do their songs and say goodnight. I like the stories in between. I like the banter. I like when they improvise.
I like that too.
It's
I think
so
that,
good, right?
As a stand-up, I like that a little bit more and respect it a little bit more.
Yeah.
When musicians do that, you know,
he was making jokes like, I know it's Saturday at 12, Saturday at 11 in the morning. And most of us, he goes, I'm usually eating oatmeal at this time, but here we are, you know, and it was awesome.
See, now I will say this, Garth Brooks, I've never been a fan of his music, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
There are one or two songs that I was like, that's a decent song, but I'm never like looking for it, you know?
Yeah. You know,
but I always thought he seemed like a good guy. And
he's definitely
even
a good
when
performer.
He was like,
yeah.
Even when he was Chris Gaines, when he was like, I was like, I'd go to a goth show with him, or like, he seems like he'd be fun, you know. But I have anxiety about him in that, you know, we're in the entertainment industry. He's the only person in country music, in all of country music, and maybe most music, where I feel like. If you actually said, oh, you know, I don't really listen to your music, it would really bum him out.
Yeah.
Like, he just
saying.
Seems like he'd be like, oh, okay. And then he'd just, like, slowly walk away. And you'd be like, oh, man, I really hurt Garth Brooks' feelings.
You know what he did at the concert? I thought this is so cool. Like, so he's singing, I forget, one of his big hits. And then, you know, he hands out a pick to people in the front row, right? They have their hands up, and then he grabs another pick and he keeps playing. Then he gives another person a pick, and the crowd's going, "Oh my gosh, Garth Brooks just gave them a pick! It's so cool!" And then, dude, he takes off his guitar, puts it over his head, takes off his guitar, and hands them his freaking guitar.
What?
Yeah, and the crowd's just like, "Oh my God!" I mean, you got to remember 20,000 people, and just like, you can't believe this is happening. And then he just starts singing, and then the show ends. I mean, the song ends, and then the crowd's like, "Ah!" And he goes, "You just got a Garth Brooks guitar," and they're like, "Ah!"
He says it like Oprah.
Exactly.
He just got a Garth Brooks guitar.
And then he goes, can somebody please hand me a Sharpie? And then the crowd goes more nuts and they give him a Sharpie. And he goes, "Let me get that guitar back." And he signs it. And then the crowd goes nuts again. And then he tells a little story real quick. He goes, "You know, I saw the signs that said we drove all the way from Denver. And I thought, well, let me give them a guitar pick." And then I saw, another person that was with your group, let me give her a guitar pick. And then, is this, and they were like, "That's my mother." And I was thinking, "Is that your mother?" Which you learn, right? You learn as a performer, don't ever assume, "Is that your mom?" Because sometimes it could be like their date or their girlfriend or someone just, you don't know, the lights are bright and you don't want to make that. I've done that before when I was in my 20s. Like, "Hey, you here with your mom?" And it's like, "It's my, you know." Don't do that.
"You son of a bitch."
Yeah, I don't, exactly. "How dare you age me 20 years?" And you don't want to ever do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
She has a degenerative disease.
Exactly. So he gives the pick. He gives the pick, and then he hands the guitar, and he goes, "How do you like the show so far? Pretty good, right? By the way, here I am acting with John Travolta in the movie Be Cool. Check it out. If you like the show and you want to show your support, every little bit helps. Go to DarrenCarter.com. I'm on PayPal or Venmo at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. Also, I'm available on Cameo and also Jemmy. All right, let's get back into the show. Oh, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share." He goes, "I thought, what's, if they're from," he goes, "what, they're from Denver and they came to see the show, what's something they'd have a really hard time getting back on the airplane?" and the girl's like, "Ah." And then he said a couple other things that were really funny. And he goes, "Well, folks, I have no more guitar, so the show's over." And everyone makes a little laugh. Dude, it was great, man. Then he goes in his next song. And so that was like a highlight that I thought was just incredible. Another one is, you know how they do the encore, "Good night, everybody. God bless. Love you," whatever. And then, "We want Garth," or whatever. "We want." And he comes out. I think he did a song. And then he goes back down and the crowd screams again. And this time he comes back up from under the stage and he brings out a security guard and a lady, and he goes, "Hey, everybody, this is Jennifer." And he goes, "Everybody say hi, Jennifer." And he goes, "Hi, Jennifer." And he goes, "I was down." He goes, "When I was backstage right now," she goes, "What's it like, Garth, having all those people yell your name?" And I said, "You're about to find out." So it's like, you know,
so
what I mean?
Cheesy.
Yeah, it's so cheesy, but so like, dude.
But they loved it. I'm sure they went nuts.
They loved it. I'm cheesy because I'm getting goosebumps as I'm saying this. Right?
Like, that's hilarious. But you're that into it.
I know,
like,
dude. Yeah,
you know all the tricks, and you're still like, "Oh."
Oh, I know. I'm like,
"This is amazing.
This is amazing." Yeah. I know, man. But you know what? Yeah, you brought up.
But now, what's funny is I can't wait to see this trickle down to your act. When you're like trying to give someone like your shirt in the middle of the show, and they're like, "We don't want it. Put it back on."
"Who wants my flashlight?" Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to give away that flashlight. Those are more the expensive ones.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not made of money like Garth Brooks.
Exactly. I start just stealing
giving away flashlights willy nilly.
Yeah. What's something you'd have hard to take on the airplane? That doesn't make sense, Darren. Anybody can take a pocket flashlight. What are you doing, pal?
This lady backstage asked me what it's like having 80% of the audience be excited about what you're doing and 20% leave early so that they don't have to deal with parking and traffic.
Oh, dude, that reminds
you're
me.
About to find out.
You're about to find out. Goosebumps. That reminds me of a joke I thought of. You know, like, maybe you could help me with it. You know that there's different artists that have, like, their fans have nicknames. Like, like Jimmy Buffett, his fans are called Parrot Heads.
Uh-huh.
And Grateful Dead, their fans are called Deadheads. And I think what's her name? She dresses real crazy. She's in New York. She's a star.
Oh, Judy Tenuta.
Judy Tenuta. Yeah, Judy Tenuta. No. Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Her fans are called, I think, like Little Monsters. You know the thing. Do you remember any of this, where I'm going with this? Like, do you know any?
You're asking what your fans should be called.
Yeah, my fans should be called people who won tickets on Groupon. Yeah. Hey-o.
I would think the natural thing for you would be your fans would be called the party finishers, the party enders.
Where's my party enders at? Because I'm the party starter. You guys are the party enders.
Yeah.
I've tried that online. Like, just what do you guys want to be called? And it's just like, there's just not enough of them.
So We'd rather not.
Yeah.
We'd rather not be called names.
Yeah, just call us by our real names, please. Or at least our online Twitter handles and Instagram
please
handles.
Be respectful and don't call us names.
Oh, let me do a quick shout out, and then I want to ask you about, let's talk a little about John Denver and Van Halen. Okay, real quick.
That's like odd pairing, but yeah.
Anybody that leaves a comment on YouTube, I like giving back, and I want to thank you for participating because it does help the YouTube algorithm. So real quick, I want to give a shout out to Troll Slayer Inc., 100% Canadian maple stirrup, San Francisco Giants guy, 408, Duran, Cindy Larson Music, Tobias Kevorkazito. He's Canadian. Kevin Alderman, Stephen Mudflap Group, Diana Holiday, Canadian Podcast Network. Dude, the Canadian Podcast Network is following us. And
you're intercontinental.
Christopher, well, no, you're not McCray. Intercontinental.
That's still this continent. But
yeah, there may be a
you're
few.
International.
Yeah, I'm international. If there's any that I'm forgetting, please forgive me, and I'll get you on next week. I just want to give a quick shout out. But
I think that's amazing that you're. If I'm reading what you're saying correctly, they're each getting a guitar.
Oh, no, they're getting a shout out.
They're getting a shout out.
They're getting a mention on a free platform that costs me nothing.
I'm sure that's just as good.
Yeah, no. What's something you guys would have a hard time? No, it's easy. Just you give us a shout
they're
out.
They're getting an autographed guitar from Garth Brooks.
I know. I bought a guitar once and I thought it was going to be easy. It's funny. If you ever just go through like a midlife crisis in your 30s back then, there's a whole street there on Sunset. There's Guitar Center, and then
the street
you can buy leather. There's all these leather place like stores, and then
it's known as the Rock Walk.
The Rock Walk, really?
Yeah.
Wow. There's tattoo
and
parlors.
And it is right next to Rock and Roll Ralph's.
Oh yeah, Rock and Roll.
Which is not its official name, but everyone calls it Rock and Roll Ralph's.
Oh yeah, because do rock stars still go there, or was that a thing back in the 80s or 90s?
I have no idea.
But you're right. It was called the Rock and Roll Ralph's. I've heard of people hooking up there before. Well, maybe still.
I have a friend who was beaten up in the bathroom there.
Damn. But, that wasn't what I was hoping for.
Yeah. Robbie, I forget his last name, but he was on the nighttime show with us for a while there. And someone beat him up for taking too long in the bathroom.
Damn.
And then they caught it on security. And it turns out that the guy who beat him up was interviewing for a job that day at Rock and Roll Ralph. So that Ralph really does rock, but not in the way they're you like, might want it to.
He's like, I was hoping I could be the bouncer at Rock and Roll Ralph's.
Yeah.
You're taking it too literally. You're not the security.
For anyone who already has anxiety about going to the restroom in a public restroom, just know that guy walks the streets.
Dude, if
you take too long for his liking, he'll just kick the door down and beat the crap out of you.
That's wild stuff.
I've told us about that, and I was like, you should totally sue.
Yeah.
It should become Robbie's Rock and Roll Ralph's,
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because you never know. You ever been in the restroom and someone's knocking and you're like, let me ask you a question. Someone knocks on the door. Do you use your real voice and what do you say?
No, what I do is I make a horrible noise.
Oh, So let me knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. That does it. I'm like, okay, I get it. Someone's in there.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, whatever's going on in there.
Yeah, because I notice whenever I never do my regular voice. I'm never like, I need a moment. I never do that. I'm always like,
no.
Yeah. Be on a minute. Or.
Yeah, you try and do the tough guy. You base it up a little bit.
Yeah, give me a minute here, pal.
Yeah. Nobody believes that at all.
Yeah. What if we did the Pee Wee Herman knock, knock, knock? Well, pal, I'm trying to go number one.
See, I think that's more likely to keep people from bothering you than the other thing.
Or sometimes you might just cough or something. Like,
they're like, that guy's clearly insane. I don't want to go in the bathroom.
I did notice when I would jog and people are in front of me, like on the sidewalk. I don't do this anymore, but I used to go on the sidewalk, and now I just go to the park where there's way more room, and you don't have to. But on sidewalks, it can get congested, and rather than saying like on your left or on your right or excuse me or coming through, like all that doesn't work really. What works is if I would bark like a dog.
Yeah,
like exactly. If they hear. People will always turn around, but if you just go coming through, excuse me, they don't give.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care
about humans. They care about animals.
Yeah, they're like, oh, and then they see me. Pocket Party Podcast.
But yeah, I notice usually in a bathroom scenario, I'm the guy on the other side of the door who's like,
come on,
waiting for someone else. Let me. And I'm very. I'm not like super aggressive, but eventually I'll say like, look, there's a line out here. You guys wrap it up.
You guys
stop playing words with friends.
Oh dude, that's the thing. Like if there's two bathrooms, like if you go to a grocery store and there's two and they're each locked. Like it's for, that does bother me. I have seen people in there, like not the two bathroom one, but where there's multiple.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was at a Target once and there was a gap that was like 2 or 3 inches. The guy had the door, but there was 2 or 3 inches with the gap. So you could actually look in there. And it was some guy. Oh, that's what it was. He literally had like Netflix playing or something. Like he had his phone open, volume loud. He's looking at his screen. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, I was like, do your day trading at home. This is not, exactly. This isn't your office.
But Rock and Roll Ralph's has really good Wi-Fi.
All right, but I'm calling that guy.
Oh, no. Yeah, maybe we should go back in time and hire that guy.
Yeah, if that was that guy's whole job, his bathroom bouncer. But, like, it could only be for emergency stuff like that, where it's like, no, this guy's setting up camp in there. No, he's not. Rah!
I know. Have you, this is randomly, you said words with friends.
He's just busting, like, the Kool-Aid man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that would be scary. Some guy, some 7-foot Hulk looking over you,
trying to take a crap, and the Kool-Aid man busts through the wall. Oh yeah.
Do you? Random question. You said words with friends. It made me think of chess, which I love playing chess. I'm a big chess head. I wear chess socks when I'm on stage.
No, you don't.
I do. I got the chess socks. I love chess. I've learned all the. I just love. Do you play chess? But I don't think I've ever asked you this.
No. Are you a fan of the X-Men films?
No.
Because chess is a running theme through those,
Interesting. Did not know that.
How about the musical Chess? Are you a big fan of that?
No. And I've never seen, and I probably should, I've never even seen that Netflix series with the
Queen's Gambit. Oh, about the girl, the chess girl, it's called.
Queen's Gambit. Yeah, Queen's Gambit. Yeah. And maybe this is not, this is just my real answer, though, because somebody... People kept bugging me about it, like, yeah, where is she? And I go, look, man, I love to play chess. I don't really want to watch a movie or a series about people playing it. It's like,
so like, you didn't, searching for Bobby Fischer, you were like, go to hell.
I'd rather watch little documentaries on him on YouTube, but I've never seen Searching for Bobby Fischer. Now I heard that
it's an excellent film,
but I would like to watch it, but I heard there's way too much sex.
There's no sex whatsoever.
Hey-o.
It's almost an entirely sexless movie.
That's
because I don't know if you know this, people who play chess don't get laid a whole lot.
They don't get laid a whole lot. Yeah, their T cells are really down. They don't really get a lot of testosterone. They're like,
nope, they're not.
Hmm.
But Chess, you know the song One Night in Bangkok?
Yeah.
That's from the musical Chess.
Dude, I didn't even know there was a musical called Chess. One Night in Bangkok. Yeah.
You know, when he's saying that part about the ultimate test of cerebral fitness, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, wow.
He's a chess player in Bangkok.
Interesting.
So now you're going to hear that song, and it'll have a whole new meaning for you.
Wow. Wow. Okay, cool. Because I knew there was something there when you said, okay, Bangkok. Because, you know, with chess, you can actually turn your pawns. If you get them down to the other end of the board, you could turn them into queens.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was...
I'd let you watch. I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you.
Exactly. That makes sense. Wow. That's really good.
You're going to get a kick out of hearing that song now.
Now I am. I'm like, did you know it was a chess related? God, you're so smart, man. You see, Mike Black.
I really am, aren't I?
He knows his pop culture.
I really do.
A pop culture. See, remember, we historian.
He did that musical at my college.
Really?
And we had a big Revolve stage. And there's a point in there where it's like the underbelly of Bangkok. And this chess player is like kind of exploring it. And so everyone's dressed up like different levels of prostitutes and stuff like that. And it's kind of like this layer cake of people going up to the top. And one night they had so many sluttied up people dancing on stage that it broke the Revolve.
Oh, no.
And so it just comes to a crashing halt. And all the hookers were like, whoa, just barely hanging on, you know, so, while they're singing One Night in Bangkok. So imagine what that looked like.
I could also only imagine college age people dressing like hookers and just the hormones are kicking in, the hormones. Like that cast party must have been unbelievable where they're
I'm sure a couple people got pregnant, you know, at least one or two.
Yeah, the school's like, you know what, this is one of those productions we can only do once.
Yeah, some relationships ended, some started, you know.
Families began.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the only musical I was in was one, it was called Damn Yankees, and it was in Fresno City College. I was in Damn
Our
Yankees.
Comedy pal Jerry Rocha did Damn Yankees as well.
Oh, is that right? I wonder if he had like a major role, because I was just one of the background baseball players.
He played the devil, and he can still sing one of his parts.
Oh, no way. Yeah, because I bet he was, because our devil was really good. I forget the guy's name, but he was older than the rest of us. And, you know, we were all like college age, like what you would consider like 18 to 22 or 3.
You should get him on here, because it doesn't take much prompting to get him to do it.
Oh, wow. Because our devil guy was a guy that was like a local construction worker and went back to community college to like change his life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was. He had that nurture.
What a fantastic sentence! He went back to community college to change his life.
I changed my life for the better. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, they were. That's where I first heard of the game quarters. Like they were drinking and they had like quarters and you bounce them. And I wanted to play, but I don't. I was like, I'll just do water. And then they just kind of laughed, but they went with it. And it just, that was cool. I was like, I don't have to submit to peer pressure. I could still be the life of the party or just hang out and drink water. Okay, that's cool.
Why not Kool-Aid? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You better get out of that bathroom. Oh, yeah.
His big jug has a bunch of nasty quarters at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
I'm full of gross-ass college quarters. And the thing is, it's like the water was really not the wise thing to do, because the alcohol, you know, sanitizes the quarters.
Oh, yeah. So
just play in water. You may as well just... drank from a public fountain.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Because how many times have you seen quarters on the ground or in a toilet or just like...
Yeah, oh my God, no.
Yeah. You know, the future generations, they're going to be... It's going to be all virtual and like on their phones or something. They're like cryptocurrency.
They're already... Yeah, that's a dodgy coin and Bitcoin and Megacoin.
And we're taking these filthy metal things that we find in backyards and metal detectors.
Mike Black Nichols.
I like that.
They are not moving. They are not doing very well.
Hey, but I'll tell you, but you know, back in the day when you'd have to just listen to the radio and whatever comes on, like I put on this 70s Spotify 70s playlist, and I'd hear John Denver. And then that's what I'm saying. It's not something I would seek out, but when it comes on, I'm like, damn, that's so good. Like that song, Thank God I'm a Country Boy. Thank God I'm a Country Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of the lines in the song, he says, I got cakes on the griddle. And just hearing that line makes me want to have like pancakes.
You know? Yeah. Chris Christopherson.
Oh, yeah. Great writer.
That Sunday Morning Coming Down, where he talks about smelling chicken as he wakes up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's cooking chicken. I'm like, I never think of that for breakfast. But when I hear that song, I'm like, oh, that sounds wonderful. You know?
I know, right? When they slip in something like that, just a visual, it's poetry. You're like, man.
Yeah. You know, who's really good at that? He's not so much a country guy, but Tom Waits is really good at putting like these visual sort of elements in his music, you know?
There's something about when people can string words together that just have an impact on you. I told you one the other day. I heard David Lee Roth on Joe Rogan's podcast. He did it recently. And just, you know, he has so many of those. He probably must have said 100. But one of the things he just randomly flew out of his mouth was, he's like, David Lee Roth said this. He goes, my body is a temple, but occasionally I rent it out for parties. You know? And I'm like, that's cool. That's a funny way to say something, you know?
It's that dude is just out of his gourd.
He is, man. That guy, you know, like, the more I listen to him, it's he really, you know, wanted to explore life and experience life. Like he went to Japan for a couple of years and wanted to study, you know, I forget what it is. It's a martial art with swords.
Chinese wushu.
No, it was in Japan. It was like
in Japan.
Whatever. He did that, and then he wanted to learn like. Remember when he was an EMT in New York City? I don't know if you knew that. He did that for 4 years.
I can't imagine anything more horrifying than being rescued by David Lee Roth.
I think he wanted to learn. He said he likes to, you know, his father was a doctor. So he wanted to, you know, one of the things his father would ask them at dinner, like, what did you do today to serve others? What did you do that's going to be in the book? You know, meaning like the book of life. Like, what did you do? Like, basically, to do something to, you know, to pitch in. And he thought, you know, so he wanted to learn, what's that word called when you like help save lives and stuff? Gosh, when someone's choking, first aid.
The lifesavers.
Yeah, he learned some first aid, but he thought as an artist, okay, so he qualified, and then his instructor said, okay, now that you've done the hours, are you ready to do some ambulance work? And he's like, what? He never even planned to do these. So he put on the uniform and started going out there. And he said, as an artist, when else can I go into like, you know, ninth floor of certain corridors, and a child is saying, help, my mom is this way. And you're being led through. And then not only do you get there, you help save the person's life. Like, he's like, I got to go through so many back alleys and kitchens and places and, you know, as an EMT and just see things and be a part of life. And man, that was really inspiring.
That has to be surreal for everybody involved, having Diamond Dave saving your life.
The interesting part was Joe Rogan goes, did people recognize you? And he said, never, not once. He said he was about 15 pounds heavier because he did a lot of bench pressing. He had cut all his hair off, and on the job, they called him D-Row. And so I think that, you know, D-Row, So and also, you know what I mean? You're only famous to people that know your stuff. So if you're picturing David Lee Roth 1984 with the cheekbones and the hair and the leopard skin and doing kicks, he probably didn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's different.
But how much cooler would it be if he did all that shit while he was saving your life?
Oh, might as well jump. Ow!
Or even just with the paddles, he's like, might as well clear.
Ooh, he gives a temperature. I'm hot for teacher.
We have a car crash. It's slippery when wet out here.
Wrong band, but who cares? I'm going with it. I'm David Lee Roth. Slippery when
wet. Is that the wrong band?
I think that's Bon Jovi. Slippery.
Oh, is
wet.
It? Well, that's a fair mix-up, I think.
Yeah. So, shout out to the Bon Jovi fans.
That'll I'm sure that'll be written down in the book of life that exactly. I got that wrong.
But yeah, exactly. The book of Mike Black on this day in June.
I don't know if I made it into the book of life. I might be in like one of the annotations at the end of it, you know.
He made a lot. That's good though.
There was a guy who ate an entire bag of pizza rolls in one sitting. His name was Mike Black.
It's funny when you put on a Spotify playlist of Van Halen and, you know, because I go there to hear David Lee Roth. And I do. Here's the thing. I do like Sammy Hagar. Like I listen to him on.
I go there to hear David Lee Roth.
Exactly. That's what I go there for. I listen to Sammy Hagar on he has a TV show. I think it's like Access Television or something where, you know, it's basically like an online on television, on camera podcast. He'll interview Rick Springfield and all these other, you know, like artists. Right. And they'll go places and you know, it's awesome. It's a fun show. And I like the way he talks. I like his personality. And I do like his songs. Like I like I Can't Drive 55. I like Right Now. And there's a couple others that I like. But I got to say, when I put on a Van Halen playlist, I want to hear David Lee Roth. I want to hear Panama. I want to hear Jump. I want to hear Running with the Devil. And I just hate when the next song is when Sammy was in the band. It's just a totally different feel. And I don't like it.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I don't like. I'm not a massive Van Halen fan in general. I like them a lot, but I'm not like. I don't know all their albums, and I don't know, you know, like every song line by line. But the stuff that I grew up on was David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
And so whenever they switch over to Sammy Hagar, you know what it does? It reminds you that time has passed.
Yes, I know.
And when you're listening to like something like that, that's the last thing you want. What you want is to be lost in that moment, you know, that time. When it cuts into Hagar,
yeah,
it's like, remember that they broke up and then the 90s started and blah blah blah, you know. It's like, oh yeah, a lot of crap happened since then, you
know? I know.
Dude, and then they got that other guy. You know,
I know.
You just start thinking about their whole shitty
Gary. I think
past,
his name is Gary Cherone, know? From Extreme or something. Yeah, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you start. You're right. Your brain goes to like.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I didn't care about any of the stuff they did with him. And I only liked the one song by Extreme. So I was like, this is useless to me.
Yeah.
It's like when they play like Queen with the new guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I'm glad that the band moved on and is still like making music, but that's not really what I want to hear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's and there's a guy who sounds just like Freddie Mercury. His name is Mark something, M-A-R-C. I forget his name, but,
Is he the guy who's the lead singer of Fun?
I'm not sure, but no, I don't think so. But he is Mark Martel, I believe his name is. And they used his voice in Bohemian Rhapsody. Like they used Freddie Mercury, but they also used his voice. They won't tell you exactly where it was, but I think it would be scenes like where he's auditioning for them, like out in the parking lot. But if you guys look up Mark Martel on YouTube, you're like, holy cow. And
so why isn't that guy singing with Queen?
I don't know.
I guess because they already have Adam Lambert.
Yeah, and they do endorse him as the tribute artist. Like I believe he's the only Queen tribute artist that they endorse. Like it's put out.
Oh, he actually kind of looks similar to Freddie Mercury in a lot of ways.
Yeah, his voice. I saw an interview with him. He said, you know, back when he was doing his music like 15 years ago, he kept hearing it so many times. You sound so much like Freddie Mercury. And he was like, who is this Freddie Mercury? And I don't know if he was joking or not, but
who is this Freddie Mercury?
He might have been serious because he was probably younger, and you know, you might know the group Queen, but
he's
not.
Canadian.
Yeah, and his man, I'm telling you, like it's incredible. That guy, man, that's something I can't do. Yeah. I can fake singing on stage, but I can't really sing. Like I can't. It's not something when I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a little about if my voice is behaving. I can sing, but if it's not, I can't.
Yeah. It's
like, especially like I'm a tenor. And so I have done everything a tenor shouldn't do to their vocal cords. So some days they're with me and some days they're just not, you know. It's like I'll be trying to hit like a high note on a Journey song or something and be like, remember all those cheese sticks you've eaten? We're not doing that. You'll not be hitting that high note.
Oh, it's fun. I saw a Led Zeppelin tribute band once, and the guy goes, okay, let's see if I can hit these high notes. Because I just had my hernia surgery last week or something.
Oh, God.
I know. He goes, I don't know if I can hit this high note, but let's go for it. And I thought that was pretty funny that he said that.
You'd think that would make it easier because of the castrati situation, you know.
That was
like the reward if you were a good singer in the opera.
Ooh.
And you were like a high tenor, yeah. They would cut your balls off.
Damn.
So that you could sing better.
Oh, wow. That was
and hit higher notes.
Gosh, when was this? In the 1700s?
This was like 1986, 87.
Oh, so. God.
No, I don't know. It was like probably like the 1700s.
Oh, my gosh. My son, you know, he's a musician, and he loves hearing people's vocal tones, and he does characters for his videos. Os the Bass Boss on YouTube, guys. Os the Bass Boss. But yeah, he's got some of his characters, like he puts on wigs and costumes. So he'll do the video as himself, like whatever song he's doing, if it's an original or a cover. And then, it's all in front of a green screen. Then he has other characters like, hold on. I'm going to see if I can remember the names. Hold on. Hopefully this phone doesn't hang up. I'm going to try it because I know I put it in my phone notes. Okay. Hold on, please.
Darren's about to shut down the podcast.
Oh, I hope not. Here we go. All right. Here we go. The characters' names are still haven't found it. Hold on. Tanner the Tenor. I know Tanner the Tenor is one of them. How could I not find this? Oh my gosh. I just literally had a conversation last night with someone. We texted back and forth, so I know it's in here.
A good father would have all of these things
memorized.
Ready to
I know, man. Gosh. Barry the Baritone. God, what are they? I know there's Barry the Baritone. Oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. Can you please talk while I look this up?
I will try, but your failings as a father should not be on my shoulders.
What the hell?
You know, most people just kind of have that stuff ready to go. But I guess you're not.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Ready? Here are the characters. Trace the Bass, Andrew the Alto, Tanner the Tenor, and Barry the Baritone.
Those are great names. Those sound like cartoon characters.
Right. And I didn't even know these things. And it's hilarious because sometimes he'll ask me, he'll be like, how come everybody on your podcast is a, and he'll know that they have like a, he'll know their vocal types. I don't have any bass. I very rarely have any guests that are basses.
Right. Cause basses aren't funny. No, I don't know. I have no idea whether that's true or not.
Well, it's great to be here. Why the chicken crossed the road?
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't sound too funny, you know. Like,
yeah, Vin Diesel doesn't do a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's me, and I gotta use the bathroom.
I live my life one joke at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Vin Diesel.
Or Sylvester Stallone, yeah.
My jokes are about family.
Family.
Pacifier.
That's all I know from Vin Diesel.
The pacifier. That was a comedy he did. He's the voice of Groot, so he's kind of funny in that.
That's you know. True.
And he could beat me up very easily. I remember before he got famous, they used to do a comic book and sci-fi convention over at the I forget the name of it. It's the temple that they used to do the Academy Awards at. And they showed Pitch Black. And that was his big breakout movie. And they had him and the rest of the cast there to sign autographs and stuff. And it was kind of surreal because nobody was famous yet. Mm. And all these nerds are getting their autographs. And we haven't even seen the movie yet. And we're like, I guess we should probably get these guys autographs in case they become famous. And like Vin Diesel was like signing stuff. And it was just funny watching him interact with people because he's like a really nice guy, but not always the sharpest tool in the shed.
I'm ethnically ambiguous. You can cast me in anything.
But he was like, this guy was, my buddy Brian went in front of me in line, and he goes, who do I make it out to? Brian. I know a Brian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What happened then, Vin?
No. You're not him. You know, it's like that. It was almost that bad.
Oh,
know,
my God.
How many Brians are there?
That's funny.
But yeah, but he was a interesting guy. And I would say at that time, I would not have bet on him becoming the star of an international mega franchise, you know, for like, what now, 10, 11 movies.
You know what's weird? Yeah. And it's funny. I was at a couple, I use this on stage, but I did a show and it was kind of dark in the backyard. It was a backyard show. It was where they do the Workaholics House. I don't know if you've ever done that show, but the Workaholics House is filmed. The front of it was filmed in the nice part of Van Nuys, California. And the guy that owns the house, his brother is a comedian. Shout out to Eric Alegria. So Eric Alegria would set up these shows because apparently the Workaholics guys used to actually rent the guest house in the back. And the owner of the house is a very successful actor. Like he speaks English and Spanish, and he got booked in all these Spanish commercials for a lot of years.
Wow.
And so he just makes a lot of money. He's a really nice guy. It's Eric Alegria's brother. And I was doing a show at this, and by the way, they would sell tickets? They would sell tickets on Airbnb, like the app.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess you could do other things on there, like take a walking tour of Runyon Canyon. So whenever people would go to Runyon Canyon, or I'm sorry, whenever people would come to Hollywood, like on and look for an Airbnb, they'd see other fun things to do on. I've never been on the app, so this may be old news to people, but to me it was new. And they're like, the guy would be like, yeah, for $10, we can go hiking at Runyon Canyon. I'll provide bottled water and give you guys a tour. So basically, the guy has a business sense, whoever this person is doing this, and he's like, yeah, no, I'll just buy, you know, water at Smart and Final and just get tourists, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'll make $10 off of them, and, you know.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, right? So,
yeah.
He told me that they would do like these comedy shows, like, and they would sell tickets on Airbnb. I don't know if they still do it. I got to ask them how they're doing it. But I was at this show, and it was actually really cool because you're seeing all these tourists and you're in this backyard, and it's, and, you know, you're getting paid like pretty good. And it was fun. You could do like a set at a real comedy club and then head over to a backyard and make money and work on stuff. And
oddly enough, the Airbnb stuff probably paid more.
Yeah, I know, right? And I remember, like, I was, the reason I said this is because the lighting was kind of dark, and this lady, this tourist, whatever, she goes, and it was right when I started shaving my head. She goes, she goes, oh my God, you kind of look like Vin Diesel. And and I heard that a couple of times. I don't think I do, but I kind of know what they're saying. And maybe if the lighting is sort of dark, but it works enough as a joke on stage. But
yeah, people have very rudimentary pattern recognition skills.
Exactly. Yeah. I know.
And a lot of times they like to verbalize it and they just sound stupid.
You know, have you gotten any celebrities or anybody that people think that you look like?
Oh yeah, none of them flattering. I will just give a general tip to the public here. Never tell a fat person some other fat person that they look like. It's never a compliment. Yeah. They're never excited to hear, oh, you look like John Candy, or you know, you look like Orson Welles when he really let himself go. You know, it's as flattering as you may think it sounds.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
You look like
the trash heap from Fraggle Rock, or, you know, remember that fat X-Wing pilot? You look like him.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah. You look at Chris Farley with a haircut. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's kind of the same principle behind, like, you know, like when an overweight person dresses up as like a character. It's, oh, you're fat Captain America. No, I'm just Captain America.
Yeah.
You don't have to add that You know?
You're a fat ghost. No, I'm just a guy in a king.
Look, everybody, he's fat Dracula. No, I'm not. I'm just Dracula.
That sounds
the only time I give it a pass is when it's Elvis. It's like, oh, you're fat Elvis. Okay, well, that's fair.
Thank you very much.
You know.
Thank you very much. Yeah. They, when I was younger and I had the bright red hair, and this was in the 80s, I got Rick Astley a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you up. And back then I was like, no. And then now, now I look back and I'm like, yeah, I did. I did look like him back then. I did.
Do you ever Rickroll your audience?
I should. How could I do that? That'd be awesome.
Just a wig. You just get a wig and a turtleneck.
That's funny. Together forever. My son loves that song. You know, that song is like a meme, so it's just out there for a whole generation.
Playing it while you're doing it, you know? All you need is like get a dickie. You remember those?
Where it's
a fake turtleneck and get like a coat, like a long coat and a wig. And just Rickroll your audience some night. That'd be a great thing to do on Halloween.
Oh, yeah. I should go up there and I really should have a wig and then just like pop it off. What if the wig starts killing more than myself? And I'm like, damn it. I'm like Samson. I miss the hair.
You guys get, you Rickroll the audience live. That's never happened, you know, like other than when he does it, you know.
I got to tell you though, shaving the head and working out has done wonders for my, because before it was Rick Astley, Ron Howard, and then there was a time in the early 90s, maybe because I was still like gelling my hair pretty high up, I was getting Lyle Lovett, which it was different.
Right, and I kind of can see a resemblance to Rick Astley, but the other two you look nothing like.
Right.
But people are like, I see red hair.
Yeah.
So he must be that thing.
You look like Simply Red, that group Simply Red. Yeah. And totally. And then, in fact, I would look at myself in the mirror and go, I don't look like Richie. I look like Ralph Mouth more. I look more like Ralph, but
right.
Donnie Most. But then when I shaved the head and kind of, you know, started working out more, like, then I started getting like the Bruce Willis, but which is cool, you know, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's way cooler than like, you know, Sherman, the Shermanator from American Pie or whatever. So if there's any guys out there balding and you're starting to lose your hair and you're asking yourself, what should I do? Should I get plugs? Should I shave it? I'm telling you, I say shaving is, it was a big step, but then I was after about a few days, I was happy I did it.
Yeah. Shaving, unless you know someone who just can work miracles with plugs.
Yeah.
I would say I don't know for sure, of course, because if they're doing great, you really can't tell. But I would say I've spotted about 90% of the procedures that I've seen. You know, like they look fake. There's just something about them that just it doesn't look right. And the problem is it becomes all people are thinking about when they're talking to you, if you have that.
Yeah. And
they're just like, is this fake? Is this real?
I think what happens is it looks pretty good for a while. And then the person might get a little older. And so you're seeing this young hair on an old face. You know,
like, do you remember when John Travolta was doing it for a while where he had that real weird ass hairpiece?
Dude, we were in Be Cool together. We were in a couple scenes, the movie Be Cool, the sequel to Get Shorty. Guys, go look it up. Darren Carter, John Travolta. And we're like, I'm standing like, you know, 3 feet from him and I'm seeing like the, where they had, you know,
all the
weaving.
The rivets and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, you see the weaving. Like they actually, I think, glued it on for the day. Like you see like the webbing and right by his temples. And you know, and also me, in that movie, I have hair, but I had a big bald spot in the back of my head, like the size of like a, I don't know, like what would be the size of like a yarmulke or something?
Tennis ball.
Yeah, like a tennis ball. But literally they covered it in the makeup chair for a good hour. The guy like was putting like that dust and then other little things and spraying it and all that. And then on camera, it looked like I had hair, but I did not have hair.
Did you go home to your wife and be like,
I was like, guess who's back? Back again. Darren's back. But that's the thing. See, honestly, when you have red hair, you look better when you get rid of it. So it wasn't like I was a sex symbol when I had more orange hair.
John Travolta had like an image to live up
to. Totally,
You know, I'm kind of glad that he just finally embraced just being bald. He actually looks great now. you know, totally bald, but, you know, that's gotta be tough when you're like a movie star and you're losing your hair.
Totally. Yeah.
People depend on it or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I get it though. I mean, if you are, you know what? Like, yeah, exactly. It's a personal decision. So whatever you guys want to do, go for it. You know, welcome to Hair Loss Podcast. And we're going to,
you know, like, well, like, have you seen the Top Gun preview for, Maverick?
Hold on. Before you tell me about that, I have to say this. I did notice when I was in between, what should I do with my hair? Every single bald guy told me to shave it. Because I think bald guys want more people to look like them. So I will say that. So I am saying to shave it, but I also am a bald guy. So
I'm like, bald guys want more people to look like them.
Yeah, they're not.
That's really funny.
That's what I think. That's what it is. So
I don't think that's it. I think it's just more convenient than stressing out about all the other tonics and procedures and lotions and snake oil that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, like, do you remember when Jason Alexander tried to do it where he got like, he got the full deluxe job done where he had like, they gave him a brand new head of hair like he was 20 years old. And it was real like oily and slick. And he, you know, he did it for, I felt kind of bad for him. He came out publicly wearing it and was like, I don't want to talk about it. I just have hair now. Well, I'm sorry. We've watched you on a sitcom, the number one sitcom in the world.
I know.
For the last 10 years. And it's been in reruns for 5. You know, so, and almost every episode you're in involves you being a bald man.
Yeah.
The jig is up.
There's, you know, like there's like this powder that I bought at a makeup store. It's like a really popular makeup store. People wouldn't know. Sephora, maybe? And it's like this powder, you sprinkle it on and it kind of covers up the bald. But I don't know, man. Like, back to what I said, me in particular with the orange hair, like, I don't know. Like, just, I shaved it and it's way better. But actually, people, I think that they
may have just, for you, they may have just been selling you donut sprinkles.
Exactly.
For, you
know, like, just give them the cinnamon and charge them for, cinnamon and, you know.
Yeah.
What were you saying about Top Gun? I did see the trailer and it was amazing. I want to see that.
It looks amazing, but also it's like, okay, your character is 50 now. You know, why do you still have totally dark black hair?
I know.
You know, it's just, it's like the timing just doesn't add up. I'm sorry. You know, it's like.
Totally.
It just seemed kind of weird, but,
It did. Okay, we're going to wrap up the podcast. A couple things I want to ask you, Mike Black. We haven't done this in a while. What is, I have my little questions, my Pocket Party podcast questions. Is there something that you've recently discovered or rediscovered? Discovered or rediscovered? Something you figured out?
No. I guess I've started revisiting a thing that I used to really love when I was a kid, and it was Marvel Comics did a thing, and DC Comics did it too, but Marvel did a book called The Marvel Universe. And it was basically an encyclopedia of all of their characters, all of their fictional lands, all of the weapons and stuff like that that they had. And they just recently released a hardbound version of that. And it's great because it tells you like the bio of every character and like major stuff that they did, when they first appeared, other aliases, all that sort of stuff. And I realized as I was reading it, I was like, this is what got me into comics initially, was just learning about these guys. And DC had one called, Who's Who, the official DC handbook, and it was the same thing. And it was like, it had like a big map of Gotham City and like the different territories in the city, you know, where Wayne Manor was in relation to it, all that sort of stuff. And in the Marvel, they had like Iron Man's costume, but it was like a cutaway, And so you could see what all the different gadgets were in the suit and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool.
That reminds me of one of these times during the summer when I'm back in Burbank area, we got to go over to grab some lunch and then take a photo by the Batman that's there in Burbank.
Yeah, I still haven't been, so that'd be fun for me. We should go to, you ever go to Gyugaku?
You know, I looked that up and I've never been there. It's in Burbank and it sounds delicious.
It really is. We'll go. I'll get us food there.
I think the thing that I've rediscovered is, two things. I have this app. Anybody can get it. It's free. It's called Libby, and you can get books for free on your phone or your device, and it's just library books.
Libby.
Libby, L-I-B-B-Y. Needs any
sort. Oh, like library, but shorter.
Yeah. And it's great because, like, you'll be listening to a podcast or something, and somebody will be like, yeah, it's in my book. And then a lot of times you go on there, and boom, there's the book. And then you can get it for free and read it or listen to the audio version. And I think that's really cool. Another thing.
Oh, that's pretty brilliant.
It's brilliant, man, because, you know, it's nice. It's just,
I don't want to pay for it.
Well, there's so many books out there that I don't want. Yeah, exactly. You're like, because if I'm buying
paying for these books,
yeah, I ain't paying for no books. that's how I have extra money for these razors, because I shave my head every day, you know. But
yeah, I remember the old Bill Hicks. It wasn't a joke; it was just a thing that happened to him. Where he was in a cafe getting ready for a show, and he's reading some books, and the waitress comes over and goes, "What you reading for?"
Yeah.
Not what are you reading? What are you reading for? Like, yeah. Why would you do this?
Why would you do that? Yeah. But there is a joint, because I prefer audiobooks, but then some of the books aren't audio. So I've been reading in the last few days, and I'm like, it does work out like another muscle in your mind. And it's, there's something about reading, like it's quiet, you're in a room, you're reading.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a thing I rediscovered that is recent. I was at Target, and you know, they have that little dollar section up front.
Yep.
With just little bullshit. They had a bunch of those like little puzzles, like where you have like a BB and you have to get it from like one end of the puzzle to the other end. Mm-hmm. And they were like a buck each, and they had like four different ones, and I was like, I'm gonna get these. and so far I've solved two of them.
Oh.
And I was like, I forgot how fun these are. And it made me want to, like, go get a Rubik's Cube, but I haven't done it yet, but I might get one.
See, Rubik's
you know
Cube
who's amazing at Rubik's Cubes?
Who?
Chris Pratt.
No way.
They gave him one on a show that was all tangled up. It was all, like, mixed up really good. And they hand it to him, and he's keeps doing the interview while he's solving it, and he's not even looking at it. And he has it solved in, like, a minute.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
See, that's...
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, see, that's... I can only solve one side of the Rubik's Cube. Like, I can link it one side yellow or one side orange.
If the stickers are loose, I can solve the whole thing real fast.
You know, women are like a Rubik's Cube. You know, you can... I don't know. There's a joke in there somewhere. But
peel off the stickers.
But I can never quite fully figure them out, but just... Yeah, if I peel right. off the, yeah. But Chris Pratt can... He can figure out women and during an interview.
He seems to be doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
And figuring out M&M Rubik's Cubes.
There's a game. Have you ever heard of a game? In this David Lee Roth interview, he kept mentioning chess a lot. And he was, you know, because I love chess also, and I'm like, I love it. And he was
talking, we get it, Darren.
You love chess. I know. It's every time I do a post about chess, and a lot of people are turned off by it. They just don't get it. But whatever. It's okay. But I still love it.
No more chess content.
Yeah, exactly. But he also mentioned another game of strategy. It's called Go. Have you ever played Go, or have you heard of Go, or have you ever watched anyone play Go?
No.
Go is...
Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah. Well, you're a guy that loves games and stuff. I remember one time you told me you went on a bad date with a girl that was all about D&D and Magic the Gathering.
Oh, God. It was Magic the Gathering. That was her thing. But yeah. Go. What is Go?
So Go, apparently, it's even older than chess, and it's like 2,000 years old, and it's huge.
Oh, wait a minute. I know what you're talking about. You mean Pokemon Go.
No, I mean Go. No. Like Go. There might be another word for it. Like, but they kept referring to it as Go. And basically, you have, I believe, black and white stones, and you're trying to capture and surround. And I don't know, David Lee Roth is doing some metaphor where, you know, like with the with chess, you want to control the center of the board.
And I think the game is called Iago.
That might be it. The English word might be go, but I think it's big with Koreans and Japanese, perhaps. I don't know.
Let me take a look here. Iago classic free video game. Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, and it's, you have basically round white pieces and round black pieces.
That's sort of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's the game board is like a hexagon.
That's it.
Yeah, it's called Iago.
I'm gonna look into it. I think I might try to see if it's fun.
Master it.
Master. I think I might try to master it. Yeah. No, I'm at.
That's what you should always be trying to do with any game. You know, it's a fun strategy game that I play.
What is it?
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. How about it,
there is actual strategy involved in playing that game, and it's very, very difficult and a lot of fun.
What is there a certain tip you can give us? A hot tip for Mortal Kombat?
Probably the hottest tip I could give you would be timing is absolutely crucial when you're doing like sweeps and uppercuts. I don't care what powers or special moves the other characters have. If you master jumping, sweeping, and uppercuts, you can pretty much get a flawless victory before they're able to land a single move with the right combination of those three things.
Interesting. I believe that's the same thing with boxing, right? Timing. You can be a really hard hitter, but if the other person's timing his punches right,
yeah,
you're going to win.
If the other person, there's a difference between seeing an opening and seizing one.
Ooh.
And that all ultimately comes down to timing. Because there are a lot of people, and this is in video games or just about anything.
For life.
That see an opportunity right there, and they're like, this is the time to strike. While they're thinking that, the winner of that sort of game is striking. You know what I mean? So it's, yeah, if you can close the gap between recognizing an opportunity and taking it, it makes all the difference.
Dude, and that carries on to life.
Yeah.
That was good. I like that. I like that. Seeing it and seizing it. Seizing it. I like that. And that carries on to life. That's right. That's the difference. Closing the gap between recognize it and doing it. Mike Black, again, it was great to having you on. Thank you so much. I know you got a busy day, and thank you listeners for taking a part of your day and hanging out with us.
I have a lot of corn chips to eat today. So.
Yeah. All right,
Mike. But no, I had a great time. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, man. And you guys check him out on Instagram. Mike Black is back. Thank you, buddy. Have a great day.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you. We're done with this interview. And by the way, guys, if you want to help out with this podcast, do me a favor. Leave comments on YouTube. Share the interviews. Share the different videos, my stand-up videos, my podcast videos. I'm available on Cameo. I'll do a personal video. I'll say your name. I'll say your friend's name. Whoever the video is for, if it's an anniversary or a birthday, a special occasion. I'm also, if you also want to just make a short donation or big donation, it's up to you. DarrenCarter.com. I have a PayPal button on there, DarrenCarter.com. I'm also on Venmo at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. And every little bit helps. It keeps the ship afloat. It keeps the lights on. It keeps the batteries in the flashlight. And laughter is the best medicine. And hopefully we gave you a few chuckles today. And, you know, it's time to pay the doctor. Just kidding. I love you guys. Thank you for being a part of my life and keeping me, giving me something to do with these podcasts and my YouTube videos. All right, now my son's in the other room. My wife's in the other room. I'm going to go out there and have lunch with them, and then I'll be uploading this today. So thank you so much. All right, now, don't hurt nobody. Don't hurt nobody. Be careful.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to the Pocket Party.